Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal hit or miss, now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis, certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the Word, but I found that a thorough reading was a different thing to do, and the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. Oh, the massive, mighty volume! Oh, the treasures manifold! Oh, the beauty and the wisdom and the grace it proved to hold! As the story of the Hebrews swept in majesty along, as it leaped in waves prophetic, as it burst in sacred song, as it gleamed with Christly omens, the Old Testament was new, strong with cumulative power, when I read the Bible through. With that bit of verse, we begin another time together on the Emmaus Bible Hour. Yes, and we do encourage you to read the Bible through. We hope that one of the results of studying this summary of the Bible will be that you will want to read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. Now we're ready to look at the book of Esther in the Old Testament. For those of you following along in the lesson material on summary of the Bible, we're on lesson 4 and page 5 of that lesson. The thrill-packed story of Esther took place in the court of a Persian king, sometime between the first and second return to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel and Ezra. It is an account of the wonderful deliverance of the Jews from a clever plot by their enemy Haman. Esther was a Jewish girl who became queen of Persia when King Ahasuerus became displeased with his wife Vashti. Esther's cousin Mordecai was a godly Israelite who sat at the king's gate and who at one time had revealed a plot against the king's life. Because Mordecai would not bow down to Haman, the latter was enraged and succeeded in persuading the king to sign and seal an edict calling for the destruction of all Jews on a certain date. Any such law of the Medes and the Persians could not be reversed or changed under any circumstances. In response to Mordecai's instructions, Esther risked her life by going before the king uninvited. She then asked the king and Haman to a banquet. Before the banquet took place, the king learned of Mordecai's unrewarded act in exposing the plot of his life. So Ahasuerus ordered Haman to proclaim publicly Mordecai as the man whom the king delighted to honor. At the banquet, Esther for the first time revealed her nationality to the king, and then told him of Haman's wicked trick to kill all Jews. The king quickly ordered Haman to be hanged on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai. The next time Esther appeared before the king, she obtained permission for the Jews to defend themselves on the day planned for their execution. The king consented, with the result that their enemies were slain. This wonderful deliverance has been celebrated ever since by the Jews at the annual Feast of Purim. The book of Esther shows God's wonderful care of his people, even though his name is not mentioned in the book. Now let's pause for some music. Possibly you'd like to look back, think back on the times that the Lord has protected and cared for you. Why not thank Him just now? Thank you. are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. With our study of the book of Esther, we complete lesson 4 in this series called Summary of the Bible. For those of you who have the lesson book, it's time for you to do exam 2, which covers lessons 3 and 4. Then mail them to the address indicated. And we'd like to remind the rest of you that we'd like you to have a set of these lessons and exams. Be ready with pencil and paper at the close of the program for information on how to get this course. Now the book of Job. Job probably lived around the time of Abraham. He was a wealthy and righteous man whom God allowed to be severely tested by Satan. Job was stripped of possessions and family and finally was afflicted with a painful and loathsome disease. Three friends who came to comfort him were so astonished when they saw his pitiful condition that they could not speak for 7 days. Then they reasoned with him at great length that the righteous do not suffer, and that therefore he must have sinned greatly. Job continually protested his innocence, accused them of being unmerciful, and blamed God for all his trouble. A young man named Elihu then appeared and spoke for God. He criticized Job's three friends for their failure to help Job, and then reproved Job for finding fault with God's dealings. At last, Job got a sight of the greatness, righteousness, power, and wisdom of God and repented of his sin. When Job prayed for his friends, his troubles ended, and the Lord gave him twice as many possessions as he had before. After Job, we have the hymn book of the Bible, the book of Psalms. This is one of the most loved books of the Bible. It's a collection of poems or hymns expressing in marvelous language the emotions and experiences of God's people. David is believed to have written at least 73 of the Psalms. Moses, Asaph, and Solomon wrote some of them, and the authors of 50 of others are unknown. Many of these poems have a definite historical background. That is, they were composed to describe some experience to which the nation of Israel, or some individual, was passing. And then many psalms are clearly prophetic in that they describe the coming of Christ in his suffering and his glory, or tell of the future of Israel. Finally, it should be said that the psalms are filled with practical instruction for God's people. The next book, as you know, is Proverbs. This book is a collection of wise sayings written by, for the most part, by King Solomon. Someone has well named them laws from heaven for life on earth. There are warnings against sins of all kind: unchastity, idleness, falsehood, adultery, pride, injustice. There are instructions for parents, for children, for parents, or rather for husbands, for wives, for rich and poor. Here wisdom speaks to all who will listen, offering priceless advice on how to live a clean, honest, upright life, avoiding the heartache, disgrace, and pain of sin. We turn now to a couple of books that are not so well known. First, Ecclesiastes. Here is told the unsuccessful quest of a man for happiness on earth apart from God. It seems that this man tried everything in his search for the greatest good. He tried science, philosophy, pleasure, building, wealth, music, and even human religion. But he was bitterly disappointed and concluded that all was vanity under the sun. The key phrase of the book is "under the sun," meaning that it tells of a life as seen from the earthly, human viewpoint, not from above the sun, which is God's vantage point. Failure to recognize this fact has led to some erroneous uses of this book of Ecclesiastes. The lesson of this book is that the human heart cannot be satisfied apart from the Lord, and the book was written so that others might be spared the anguish and disappointment of treading the same weary path. we would encourage you to reread the book of Ecclesiastes with these thoughts in mind. Our final book at this time, Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. This tender love story is a gem of literature. It is called the Song of Songs in order to indicate its superiority to other songs. There are two principal ideas as to the plot of the book and its interpretation. Perhaps the most common view is that it describes the genuine affection between Solomon and the Shulamite maiden. He woos and wins her from her home in Shunem and brings her to his palace in Jerusalem. The interpretation is that the love of Solomon is a type of Jehovah's love for the faithful remnant of Israel. And then it can also be applied to Christ's love for the church. Another view sees three principal characters in the story: Solomon and the maiden and her shepherd lover. Solomon, the man with 1,000 wives, seeks to win the heart of this maiden, even bringing her to his royal palace. But she remains true to her own lover. When Solomon flatters her, she only replies by describing her own beloved. She is the picture of the faithful remnant of Israel, which remains true to Jehovah in spite of the allurements of the world. Finally, her shepherd lover appears and takes his bride back to his home. Well, there's another book of the Bible to read or reread. And that's the end of Lesson 5. We're serious in encouraging you to read the Bible from cover to cover, and then to take this course, Summary of the Bible, a correspondence course of the Emmaus Bible School. In just a few moments, we'll be giving you our address so that you can get full information. Next time together, we'll be looking at the major prophets. This is the Emmaus Bible Hour.